Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I'm Pastor John. The ministry of Headed Home is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find and answer the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
Well, God is good. God's faithful. Another day almost in the books. What is it, the 25th of April? Sorry, 21st. Feels like the 25th. Amen. Mother's Day is coming up. I didn't realize that. I looked at it today. And is it the 12th or 19th? 12th. So Mother's Day is coming up. If you are still blessed to have your mother, make sure you start preparing. Don't forget mom. And if you have a mom that's gone to be with the Lord, you can thank God. What a beautiful day to thank God for the godly influence and the godly witness and testimony that your mother was to you. So a lot of things to look forward to. But tonight, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm chapter 34. And we're going to look tonight at verses 1 through 3 of about going into God's presence, dwelling in God's presence. And it's just more a reiteration, a reaffirmation of the mindset and the mind frame that we need to have as followers of Christ. The title of the message is, I Will Bless the Lord. I Will Bless Him. There was a song that I remember growing up with. I don't know if you've ever heard it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. It might have been a praise hymn back many years ago. I don't remember, but I remember it was all based in Scripture, but I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And that's really the mindset, the theme of tonight's message. And again, we'll only look at verses 1 through 3, and if you're able physically tonight, stand for the reading of Psalm chapter 34, again, verses 1 through 3. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. Thank you tonight for your word. God, thank you for the truth of it. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit that affirms truth to our hearts and our lives. God, I pray tonight that your word would give wisdom well beyond our years and our understanding. Father, that truth would reign triumphant, supreme, and that God, you would be glorified in our lives. Edify us, equip us, Father, for the mission field that you've placed us on. And may we leave tonight, Lord, more encouraged, more emboldened, to stand firm in the truth, God, that has been entrusted to us as followers of Jesus Christ with a mandate that Jesus left us with in the Great Commission. Lord, we commit all this to you, and we ask this tonight in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. You may be seated. So verse 1 again, I will bless the Lord at all times. My lips. Wow. Is this the reality for you? Do you bless the Lord at all times? Now, all times is all-inclusive. It's not talking about when you wake up in the morning. You know, we know from Scripture, what is it? From the rising of the sun until the setting. Of course, that includes all. But this is talking about the entire day, all throughout, not from sunup till sundown, everything in between, all times. Do you bless the Lord at all times? Is His praise continually on your mouth? The great Scripture, may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Thinking about the flowers that were mentioned earlier and the beauty of spring, what are those flowers doing? They're proclaiming God's creative genius, God's creative beauty. The birds, what are those birds doing? They're singing His praises. They're praising God. Now, I'm going to tell you one thing. We used to have a bird. I don't know if it was praising God, but maybe it was doing it with the harp and the lyre. It used to peck on our gutter at about 5:30 in the morning in Miami, Florida. Has anybody ever heard a woodpecker on a metal gutter? It's pure insanity, but that woodpecker was praising the Lord with drums. It was the steel drums, right? It was one of those ones, I think, from probably Jamaica that was playing the steel drums. But man, it would drive you insane. But see, that bird was merely praising the Lord, doing what God had created that bird to do. That bird didn't care that it was 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning in Miami, Florida. No, that bird did not give 2 ounces of what my thoughts were, because it was created to praise God, and its desire was to do so with musical instruments. But first verse tonight, I want to share this with you. Is blessing and praise always on your lips? Because we are going to have something on our lips. We are going to have something, whether it is worry, whether it's fear, whether it is planning, whether it is frustration, whether it's anger. We could go through the litany, meaning the whole entire vast level of emotions from joy to sadness and everything in between. We're going to have something on our lips. And my question tonight first is, hey, is blessing and praise always on your lips? Because if not, what's filling that in? What do I always reference with real estate when we're not doing this? What occurs is it's abdicating. We are abdicating the responsibility to do that, meaning we're abandoning that. And then what happens is we have a squatter. The squatter is the enemy. The squatter comes in and he squats on real estate that we have rightfully allowed him to squat on. And what I share with you perpetually about squatters is it's very difficult to get them off of something when they have begun to squat. Is it much easier to keep them off of property or to get them off once they have begun residence? It's easier to keep them off. So if we will bless the Lord and praise always, when that is all attitude and a mindset of worship with which the enemy does not have the ability to, or it's going to complicate at least and make it much more difficult for him to begin to squat on that territory in the first place. And then the second verse, I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. So you, in verse 1 again, we're blessing the Lord at all times. His praise is always on my lips. And then again, verse 2, I will boast in the Lord, and the humble will hear and be glad. What is boasting in the Lord? What I shared about today in sharing your testimony. What has God done in your life? If you don't have anything that you can say, you know, God has been so good to me. God has been so faithful. God has provided. God has supernaturally done what only God can do. God has done X, and there is no other way possible that it could have been done than the power, the might, and the blessing of God himself and what he's done in my heart, my life. Boasting in the Lord creates an attitude of worship. It creates an attitude with which we are very cognizant, meaning we are watching, we are looking, and we're seeing the evidence of God's work in our life. But then we are, as a result, boasting in those things that God's done. How has God intervened? How has God blessed you? How has God moved in your life? How has God dealt with helping you through depression, frustration, anger, heartache, heart? What has God done to supernaturally provide that you could boast in him? If you tell me tonight that there's nothing that you can say that God has done for you tonight, I can assure you it's not that God hasn't done it. It's that you failed to recognize it for what it was, because God has done great things. God has been ever faithful. So tonight, are you boasting in the Lord? And if not, my heart breaks for you, because you are missing an amazing Lord, meaning when we meditate in him, when we boast in him, when we set our affections on him, he gives us the desires of our hearts. So if you desire a deeper, more intimate walk with the Lord, and you're not capitalizing on this privilege of blessing and praising the Lord and boasting in the things that God has done, do you think for a moment that God's going to do more when we are not recognizing and blessing him for what he's already done? I can assure you, we will not see the hand of God move in our life. If anything, we will see God's hand of judgment in our life due to the fact that we have not done what God has commanded us to do in our lives. And then verse 3, proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. So what has happened there? We've gone from the singular to the plural. So we have a person who's been boasting. They're boasting, they're blessing, they're praising the Lord. And then in that third verse, what they've done is invited a corporate or a duo of people, two people minimum, to bless the Lord together there, right? Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. What they're doing is extending the invitation to praise God together with somebody else. Now, that won't happen if you don't extend that invitation to somebody to do that in the first place. Hey, tell me what God's done in your life. I want to hear what God's done for you. How has God, I've shared what God's done in my life. Tell me what God has done in your life. So they're doing that together. And then what? Let us exalt his name. What does exalt? What does exaltation mean? To lift up. To lift up. Exalt his name. Exalt the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. God, you have been good. You have been faithful. You are exceeding abundantly above all that I could ask or think, God. You do according to your plan, your purpose, your will, what you want to do for your glory. Exalting the Lord, lifting up his name, praising him, worshiping him. Again, this does not happen by default. This happens when we cultivate an attitude first of gratitude, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of worship. And then we desire at that moment then to transition and make all of our life a living prayer to the Lord, blessing the Lord at all times, praising him with our lips at all times, doing it whether we're by ourselves, whether we're with somebody else. How awesome when you're able to boast in the things of the Lord with somebody else instead of talking about a bunch of old foolishness with a friend that you haven't seen in a long time, and you squander an opportunity to praise God together, to share the goodness of God, and to boast at the things God has done. What do? Sit around and talk about a bunch of old foolishness about some people running up and down with the $30 football, talking about some old bunk about who's this and who's that and who's done that. That's wonderful. That's what your opener needs to be. But you need to refocus things and focus on something that's tangible and something that matters. Don't squander an opportunity to boast in the power, the work, and the person of Christ. Because all of the rest of this stuff is fleeting. Who won the 1969 Super Bowl? Who won 1970 through 79? Who was the major players? Who won 1980 through 85? Who won 85 to 90? I know that's sometimes close. I'm not even a football player, but I know Dallas Cowboys was somewhere in there in the Redskins. That's about it. That's all I know. I remember people hollering about then, and I didn't understand anything about it, and I thought people were crazy to sit around and devote that much time to watching a stinking TV when you can go outside and enjoy yourself. That's when my long sordid history of breaking away from my family begun, because they were big into watching ball. They still are to this day. It doesn't matter if it's tennis, if it's golf, if it's baseball, if it's football. I don't watch any of them. I'm an equal opportunity offender. I don't worry about any of it. I've got too much to do. Amen? Then to sit around and watch a bunch of grown adults run around whacking each other upside the head and making themselves just about unable to function by the time they're 40 years old. But if that's your thing, praise God, that's between you and the Lord. But spend time exalting the Lord with something that transcends the test of time. You might know all about that stuff, but you better know about your walk with Christ and your love for the Lord a whole lot more than you know about a sport. Because I promise you, all of that stuff is passing away. The things that I'm talking about are the things of eternity. The things that have eternal value, they have eternal meaning. Again, there's nothing wrong with hobbies. I'm not knocking anybody who has a hobby. What I'm talking about is there's something that is so much more important than hobbies, and that is what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. He died for us. He paid a price that we can dwell in God's presence tonight. Jesus Christ died in our place, became sin for us, so that this very moment we can bless him at all times and his praise be on our lips. We're able to go boldly into God's presence tonight because Jesus Christ left his place of authority, came to earth, suffered as we did, walked a lonely road to the cross of Christ, bore our sin as his father turned his face away, died, and 3 days later triumphantly rose from the grave with the title deed to earth, hell and death, swallowed up in victory. And I'm going to tell you, that right there is something that gets me excited. A bunch of grown men running around on TV, that's fine if that's your thing. But there are things of eternity that have eternal value and they matter. They ultimately matter. Turn those conversations with a quick intro into who's done what in the sports world, but make sure you hijack those conversations in a spiritual tone and a spiritual reason, because none of that stuff is going to matter ultimately when that person you're talking to does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's not going to matter if you sit there and try to excuse, well, I'm trying to build rapport. Build rapport? You don't know if they've got 30 more minutes left in their lifetime, so don't think that you've got 6 months to build rapport with them until you can finally share the good news of salvation. There is a time stamp on all of our lives that we have no clue when that time stamp expires. And that's why there is a vital necessity to cover the main thing and make the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? Do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Let me tell you what God's done in my life. By the way, if you're a sports person, say this. You know, sports used to mean a whole lot more to me than it does. Really, what happened? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Imagine the opener in a conversation that you can have with somebody, because you can, like-minded person, say, yes, it used to have the place of supreme importance in my life until. What is the next thing they think you're going to say? Oh, it's a girl. Nope, it's not a girl. Then you've really thrown them for a loop. What could have more importance? There might be a hobby they don't know about their thinking. But imagine when you share with them what Jesus Christ has done for you, what Jesus Christ desires, more importantly, to do for them. Christ Jesus died for us on the cross, not so that we can live some half-quiet life enjoying our hobbies and all the things that we enjoy doing. He died so that we could live and that we could go out and share with the world the love of Christ and all that he has done for us through salvation. And the third and final thing I want to share with you, there you go, proclaim God's greatness, exalt his name together. Do that with your friends. Share what God's done in your life. Share what God's done in your family. Share what God's done in the people that you have shared Christ with and who have come to Christ. If you know anybody in your life that you've had a fundamental impact on their life. It was interesting today. I was up in Murfreesboro visiting someone, and a person was there from Alabama visiting. And I said, oh, Alabama, you're way down in Alabama. Yeah, I'm down below Huntsville. And I said, you know, that's interesting because my childhood pastor's church, he died in an accident last year, but his church down there, and I said, it's Briarwood. And she's like, oh, my daughter went to school there. I love his pastor, Harry Reeder, is one y'all have heard me talk about. But this person went to, they listened to Pastor Harry Reeder and all the sermons. He's such an incredible pastor, but their child went to school there. So how a conversation where you talk about the Lord, and I've got to share with her how he was my childhood pastor and how much that family means to me and things, but it's awesome these conversations you can have with people when you talk about the Lord. When the things of the Lord come up, it's interesting how even a lot of times the commonality of things that either we have in common or maybe someone who you realize very quickly you have nothing in common with because they don't know Christ. God opens these doors of opportunity. We have to walk through those doors. Just because God places a doorway of opportunity in front of us doesn't mean that we're going to take them. We have to be faithful to walk through those doors of opportunity. If not, they are missed opportunities. Now, we might say for ourselves, well, I still know the Lord. What if a missed opportunity that we fail to meet results in someone dying lost? Have you ever thought about that? Because that's very serious. And I look at it from the biblical perspective, and the Bible says when somebody's committing sin that leads unto death and we do not speak out to dissuade them, they will die for their sin and he will hold us accountable for their blood. What that means is when you and I fail to share the good news with someone that God has uniquely placed in front of us that doesn't know Jesus, we are responsible for them. We are responsible to share with them the good news of salvation. And if we fail to do that, we look at it from that perspective, We have their blood on our hands, because it's one thing if they say, you know what, I'm sorry, I'm just not into that Jesus stuff. I don't want nothing to do with that. God and I have an understanding, or whatever they might say, but it's a whole nother ballgame when you and I make the decision for them. How do we do that? By not sharing in the first place. Because, well, socially awkward, and I knew that they wouldn't want to, they wouldn't want to hear what I had to say. Meaning, you made that decision for them, as opposed to them telling you, I don't want to hear this, thank you, I'm good. Let them be the one that makes that decision. Let them bear the ramification or the consequences for their choice. Don't make it for them. So again, number one, is blessing and praise always on your lips? Is that what you're doing? Cultivating an attitude, a lifestyle, and a heart of thanksgiving and worship. It does not happen by default. You can't just go, okay, God, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to hope that everything in my mind is meditating on you, and that I'm blessing you and I'm praising you, and I'm going to go to sleep now and I'm going to wait until tomorrow until that happens. It will not happen unless you hijack your will into the will of Christ. What does the Bible say? Take every thought captive to the will of Christ. So it requires us to say, okay, this is what God's desire for me is, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk in obedience as I yield my wants, my wills, my desires, take them captive to the will of Christ. Serve. That's what it is. And then number two, then, do you boast in the Lord? Are you boasting in the Lord? Are you recognizing the blessings of God, but also telling others how good and how faithful God's been to you? How God has blessed us with a church body that we don't have to deal with, sadly, so much drama in churches all over the place, and all the dissension and the infighting and bickering and all these things that happen in so many. We don't have that. We're so blessed. And like I said this morning, we need to recognize the blessing of God for what it is. Thank God that we have a spirit of unity in this body of Christ. Does that mean we'll never have differences? That doesn't mean that at all. But if we keep the main thing and the focus on what's important, those differences fade into the background. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that there's people in this church that probably have tons of money, and there's other people in this church that don't have two rusty nickels to rub together. What unites us is what's important, not what we have financially or what we have in terms of the tangible things of the earth and life. Those things are meaningless. Those things are passed away. What matters is what is there. What is there? What's seated on high in your heart, your life? What is your passion? Do you boast in the Lord? Are you meditating on Him? Are you dwelling in His presence? And then third and finally again, proclaim God's greatness. Exalt His name together. Invite your company to praise God with you. Share with them. Begin that attitude of going, you know what? I just can't. Let me share with you what God's done in my life. Let me share what God's done in my family. Let me share what God, I'm praying right now that God will do in a prodigal son, daughter, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather. God is so good. God is so faithful. We have to cultivate those attitudes. And tonight's title of the message is a good thing. Write it and put it on your mirror in your bathroom. I will bless Him. Attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thanksgiving. Lord, I want to bless your name. Bless your holy, your righteous, your matchless name. God, you are ever faithful. You are ever righteous. You are ever holy. You are an awesome, awesome, wonder-working God. I just pray as we close in prayer tonight and we head out into our mission field that we will think all these things today that God's given us from His Word, very important things to focus on, to meditate on. Obedience is not something, once again, that is a default. Obedience runs contradictory to the human nature. We are rebellious by nature. And that's one of the hardest things to deal with, too, because rebellion, it's like we want to put that away as we are crucifying the flesh on a daily basis and conforming into the likeness of Christ. We think, okay, I've crucified that flesh today. I'm done with that. On to the next thing. It's not a checklist. There's days that your rebel spirit, the rebellion, will rear up 4 or 5, if not plus times at times. What do we have to do? Take those thoughts captive to the will of Christ. God, how am I going to respond in doing this? Well, I'm going to respond like this. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to start off with an attitude of repentance because of the foul attitude I have, or the rebellious spirit that tried to rear its head. And God, I'm going to take it captive to blessing your name, praising your name because you are awesome. And then I'm going to boast in your name because you've been so good. And I'm going to proclaim your greatness and how I got victory out of the ashes and defeat that I was wallowing in. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, tonight for your word. Lord, thank you for the encouragement of it, the challenge of it, the conviction of it, and all that your word does. Father, I pray as we now go home, Lord, and get rest as we begin a new week, that you will equip us, that you will take the things that we have studied today, that we have learned, and that we will apply them to our lives, and not only be hearers of your word and deceive ourselves, but we will be doers also. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, for the good news of the gospel, for all that you desire for our lives. Father, pray that we'll walk in the wholeness, the fullness, and the completeness that's found only in you. We thank you above all for what Jesus did on the cross for us, Lord, and the incredible love that you have for us, that's demonstrated daily, Lord, in all that you do for us. Father, I pray that we'll live a life as we bless your holy, your righteous, and your matchless name. We commit all this to you, and we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Headed Home with Pastor John. If you'd like to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please visit our website at longviewbaptistchurch.org and click our contact link. Thank you for joining us.